Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
Hey, we are excited about today's program because we have a special Christmas Eve show for you today.
We're talking to five of our clients who have become highly involved in five different charities, and each one of them is going to be recognized for their contribution.
Yeah, and I think you will find this show inspiring, encouraging, and we think it'll help you actually with the Christmas season, the Christmas spirit. So stick around for Handsome Claims Money Matters.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I said,
Merry Christmas. Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
That's right, you hear the Christmas music. It is Christmas Eve. Yeah. Some of you are probably out shopping and
I hope not. Stuff.
I bet some people aren't.
I've done that in the past. Fortunately, with the advent of Amazon, I've got my shopping over in a relatively short period of time. My wife says it lacks enthusiasm and the true meaning of Christmas.
As she does
shopping.
Not.
She does.
Shopping is the true meaning.
That is funny. Yeah, I think what she really means is exerting energy on the the behalf of others.
I went into a couple stores. Most of it was online. Yeah. And of course, I'm done Christmas Eve. But usually a few days before, if I'm not done by that point, I'm mentally checked. Anyway, it's Christmas Eve. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We've got we actually have a really cool program today.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this. Why don't you do the introduction, Scott? Tell them what it's about.
And this, of course, this show's normally a financial program where we take calls, we talk about financial matters. It's Christmas Eve, and as we're planning ahead of the show, we thought, do people really want to hear about, it's Christmas Eve. We don't feel like talking about just
money.
Money.
Or financial, or even the...
Before you change, here's the deal. We thought this would be a great program, a great week to talk about really the spirit of giving and about which is really the season, regardless of your faith. So for some, obviously, this is a real important season for you. It's the birth of Jesus, Christmas celebration. Some have different faiths or no faith. That's all fine. But it's regardless, it's still very much a time of year of giving and a reflection.
And thanks.
Yeah.
And so today's show... We're talking with clients of Hanson McLean's that are involved in nonprofits across the board, from local zoos to sex trafficking organizations to help people get out of sex trafficking, victims of sex trafficking.
Cancer.
Across the board. And part of this, as we were planning the show, we talked about, What is the spirit of the season? And this is where we landed. And I got to tell you, I've been involved in many charities over my many, many years in business. And I have gotten more out of every charity I've been involved in than I put in.
Both time and resources.
Yes, correct. And not only, so mostly just personal development, especially sitting on boards of highly organized charities that have...
Have you not been on boards of disorganized charities?
I actually have been.
Yes, okay.
But if you're truly committed to the cause, you'll organize that board.
Of course.
That's part of the growing process, and that's part of the reason. That's part of the reason I feel I've actually gotten back is I've been on some boards that were a little disorganized, or the organizations weren't effective, as effective as they could be, and by helping the board develop systems and processes. I've learned from it, and I believe it's helped the nonprofits.
Yeah. And so I think part of the reason of this program today, and as we have, we're going to have five different guests throughout this hour sharing their stories of their involvement with these other organizations. And we thought a couple things. One, we thought it would be an encouraging time nonetheless if you're either preparing for Christmas right now or finishing up shopping or whatever you're doing. We thought it'd be just a nice time of... We think you'd be encouraged, but also perhaps it would inspire you to maybe do something different in 2017 and look at how you can spend your time and your resources. So
yeah, and just to oftentimes we have people that are retiring. We ask, what are you going to do in retirement? And many of them say, oh, I'd like to be involved in nonprofits, a nonprofit or multiple nonprofits. And then how? So my wife is actually going through this process right now. I don't know if she'd appreciate me. Eh, what the heck?
What's she going to do? Leave you? It's been 30 years. She would have left by now.
So we have our last two out of four children. They're still at home, but next year it'll just be one child at home. And so she's got a lot more time on her hands.
Is your youngest driving?
Yes, he's driving.
That's a game changer. Once your youngest drives, then...
It was actually, that's a good point.
Also, you're needed for is the cash.
So she's been going and volunteering at different nonprofits to see which ones that she thinks she'll add the most value to and the ones that she'll be the most engaged with. And I asked her, she's an accountant by education. I said, why don't you, every one of these organizations could probably use you in the accounting office. And she said, well, that's part of it. She said, but I want to actually be on the front lines helping people and interacting people with a day-to-day basis. So hopefully, as you listen to this program, you'll be inspired in your own life and in your own giving through these interviews.
And Hanson McLean, over the years, we've been involved in a number of different charities. The Run to Feed the Hungry that benefits the Sacramento Food Bank. We were the
marquee sponsor for years.
A dozen years. It was called the Hanson McLean's Run to Feed the Hungry.
29,000 runners this last year.
Been highly involved in that. We've been involved in Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I should say it's no longer called the Hanson McLean Run to Feed the Hungry.
I understand that. It was.
Yeah. Western Health Advantage.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, we're grateful for the Western Health Advantage.
I actually am. I'm on the board of the Sacramento Food Bank, and they write a little bit of a check to call it the Western Health Advantage Run to Feed the Hungry.
But it's interesting as we're financial advisors, right? Hanson McLean, our primary business is financial advice, helping people with their finances. But there's something to be said when we give of ourselves, whether it's our time or our resources, where it takes the focus off ourselves a bit. And I honestly believe that when people give some of their finances, it can release a bit of the grip that money holds on most of our lives. Most of us, money is a power in our lives for most people, whether it's spending, we spend too much, or we're too consumed with our saving and investments that we focus on it so much. It's never quite enough. And just the discipline of giving can take our focus off ourselves and put it on others. And I just think it's actually a good discipline for our own finances. I read a book, I think it just came out this last year, by Jen Santi, The Giving Way to Happiness. The Giving Way to Happiness. And it was an interesting series of people who had done giving. They profiled some kind of celebrity type people, but that wasn't very interesting to me, but the other parts were interesting. It's just some studies on it and how scientifically giving.
Were they only showing rich people giving, or were they showing middle class?
Yeah, it's one thing when you see.
When you, like Bill Gates is.
Whoa, yeah.
But God bless him.
I love the way he's living his life, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of being some hedonist.
He's not only giving the money away, he's actually making sure it's used correctly, what he believes it's used correctly. But that's one thing. But when you're middle class and you're giving 10, 15, 20% of your income away, that is significant.
Did you realize that lower income people give a higher percentage of their income than wealthier people?
Yes, I did know that. Yes.
So someone's making $100 million a year and gives away $2 million.
That's a lot of money. You're going to get something named after you,
And it'll make a difference.
But the sacrifice for the person making $30,000 a year giving away $1,500 is actually larger as a percentage.
As Christmas time, the story of the widow who threw in either one or two copper coins into the treasury, and Jesus said she gave more than all the rest because she gave all she had.
Yes.
Anyway, so it's Christmas time. We're talking about the spirit of giving and Hanson McLean's special program. And we're going to kick things off. And these are all clients of Hanson McLean, not to say they're happy clients of Hanson McLean, because
we hope they are, but they
cannot. Our industry rules are we can't have client endorsements, so these are no way meant to be endorsements of Hanson McLean and the work that we do for them, but nonetheless our clients. And we're going to start off with Dave Shea. Dave Shea is, we've known Dave for a number of years, and he runs Friends of Vinson. And Dave, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, thanks for being part of it. So Dave, tell us a bit of your story, how you got involved in this organization. Why don't you start off from the start?
And what the organization does.
Yeah.
In 2001, my friend Pat and I was a returning Vietnam veteran, and we took a tour with the 25th and 4th Infantry Divisions to the Central Highlands. It was my first time back.
Vietnam?
And to Vietnam.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then in Kontum, we found this very poor Mountain Yard orphanage, which really got me thinking. I hadn't thought about the Mountain Yard people and what their plight might have been after we left. So after we were there, we had about $100 between us, and we left it with the sisters and came back to California. And then we began doing a friends and family fund drive, which we did till 2005 when we joined other veterans and established a 501c3 and a website. And now we support 7 orphanages and 850 Mountain Yard children.
850 kids are supported.
Yes.
This is, I find this fascinating because here you retired, and I think you went to Vietnam originally just to kind of... Why'd you go back to Vietnam originally? I mean, because you were there for war, which is obviously a challenging time.
And so how many years was it from the time that you returned from war in Vietnam till the time you returned as a civilian?
I returned in May of 1968, so it was 2001. I attended the dedication of the memorial in Sacramento, the Vietnam Memorial. That was probably the first time that I had ever done anything with veterans. When we came back... We just kind of put it away. It wasn't a popular war, and we weren't really well thought of at the time, so we didn't do much as far as veterans organizations and things. But anyway, and got me thinking in 1988, and then in 2001, I had the opportunity to, after retirement, to make the trip back.
And so you went back the first time, left $100, kind of your spare change. Something kind of sparked you.
And where'd it go from there?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was the plight of the Mountain Yards, and especially the orphan children. And it was just very, very, very poor. So we had we co-founded this 501c3 with other vets that had similar interests. And I served as president from 2005 to 2015. In 2015, I stepped down. I think change is good at times when you need new leadership and new energies. So, but I'm still very active on the board.
And is the goal of the charity to get the population to self-sufficiency? Is it to educate? Is it healthcare? What is exactly the
goal? Yeah, give
us
a couple stories of how this makes a difference on people's lives there, if you would.
Well, I think it starts with basic needs, and the sisters were begging in the communities and in the markets for food for the children, and so we saw that as a place to start is food. So we went from food to clean water. We've established clean water in all the orphanages, and then fundamental education, and now we're working on medical. We provide dental clinics every year for the kids. And we're working on scholarships to give the children hope afterwards. During, we try to get the sisters to become more self-sufficient. We have purchased land and tractors and to get them into the farming. And we've established sewing classes and sewing organizations for them. And so they now have fish farms and cattle and some
wow.
So we've been there for quite a while now, and I think we've accomplished a lot.
And Dave, do you know approximately your annual budget?
It's around, we've raised about $1.5 million since we've started, and we send over about $125,000 a year, and that is, like I said, mostly for basic needs, but now working into education and dental. And then you have
groups that go over and make sure that the resources are used correctly and kind of give it direction. So you've got people in Vietnam helping the direction of these assets, correct?
That's correct. We do go over. Everybody that goes pays their own way. All the donations go to the sisters to support the children.
Yeah, and you've operated this on pretty much a shoestring, right? As far as salaries and that sort of stuff. I mean,
there are no salaries.
And,
this is 100% of the donations go to the children.
And you say the sisters, it's a Catholic order of some sort that
helps. This is the Sisters of the Miraculous Medal. They're It's a Catholic order of Mountain Yard Sisters in Khantoum.
Got it. And so then you actually then help support their mission and give it direction. That
correct.
Is, Dave.
Well, we don't really, no, we really don't do, it's difficult to direct from here. We're more support. We try to educate as best we can, but we don't really direct.
So, Dave, I've got to tell you, so thank you for two things. One, for being a longtime client of Hanson McLean and all the referrals that you have sent throughout the years, although you're not allowed to say it's an endorsement, and Dave's friends or may or may not be happy. And it's the nature of our business. And the second thing is Scott and I have been proud to support your organization over the years. We've got a link on our website. Scott and I would like to, as a Christmas thank you, donate $5,000 towards your nonprofit, if that's okay.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful, Pat. Thank you. This, $5,000 to us is just huge. So that will go a long ways. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for all the great work.
And so how many other vets got involved in this after you guys started?
Well, we probably have on the board probably 10 veterans.
That's great.
But around the nation, there's many, many. I couldn't give you a number off the top of my head, but in the hundreds. But we also have veterans from other countries, as Australia, have joined us and partnered with us. So, yeah, we have a good following.
Well, awesome. Dave, thanks for what you do, and thanks for being part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters today.
Well, thank you, Scott. Thank you.
And have a Merry Christmas.
And thanks for
you too. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for all the great work we do. It's pretty touchy.
Yeah, you know what's cool about this story? So here's Dave didn't have any experience in.
No, he's just touched.
He just he's going through his own journey of life at retirement stage, goes back and says, leaves $100. $100 makes a difference. Well, with a few more bucks, ends up getting other people involved. And
over the last few years, it's supported it to the tune of $1.5 million.
Not only have of these 800 and some odd children that they've impacted, very poor children in the mountains of in Vietnam, but you think about the impact that's been involved in the lives of many of these vets as well. So it's cool. This is a special Christmas program, Hanson McLean's Money Matters. So if you're thinking, what in the world's going on here? Special Christmas program. We're talking about the spirit of giving, the season of giving, and that's what this is about. So our next guest, we've got Ed Kaufman. And Ed's involved with the Friends of Folsom Zoo Sanctuary, so involved in the zoo. Ed, thanks for being part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
My pleasure, guys.
Hey, and Ed, this is Pat. So for the rest of the listeners, we're in San Francisco and in Denver and in the Northern California area. I grew up not too far from Folsom Zoo, and it was a small community at the time. And I remember going there when I was 10 and 12 years old, when basically, I think at that point in time, 30, how long ago was that? Holy smokes. 40 years ago, it was primarily, I think, a rehab center for a lot of the animals that were coming out of the Sierra Nevadas mountains. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was actually founded in 1963 by a gentleman named Gordon Brong. He was a city employee who was noted for helping injured and lost animals, particularly wild animals. And eventually Fish and Game asked him to help out with some officially. And the city was nice enough to support him. And that's how the zoo got started.
And is it still a rehabilitation center? I'll share a quick story. My brother was driving down a road not too far from the Folsom Zoo, and he hit a deer. And while he was on the side of the road talking to the highway patrolman, a city truck pulled up and threw that deer in the back of the truck. And my brother said, "What are you going to do with the deer?" He said, "We're taking it to the city zoo, and we're feeding it to the mountain lion."
Oh, well, there we go. So your brother participated.
My brother's kind of.
We're going to have him on next to have his involvement with.
Yeah, my brother's kind of into wildlife.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that happens frequently, but probably not frequently enough for the animals at the zoo.
Okay.
We have to get them real quickly and before they started their decay process.
Got it.
So once we get them, we freeze them for a month. and then special treat for the mountain lion.
Oh, good for them.
Nice. So how did you get involved in with the zoo? I mean, has this been a passion of yours your whole life? Or?
I've always loved animals all my life, and my wife and I became docents of the Folsom Zoo Sanctuary in 2008, and at the same time, we became members of the Friends of the Folsom Zoo Sanctuary. Now, the two organizations, the docents and the friends, are separate, but they work really closely to further one common mission, and that is teaching responsible behavior towards all animals. The docents are what I would call the educational arm of the zoo. They provide tours for visitors and also go outside the zoo to promote the zoo and the animals and, education about the animals. The Friends are a 501c3 organization, and they're primarily involved with fundraising and promoting the zoo. One thing you guys mentioned was its rehabilitation. And actually, that's not the official terminology, because none of our animals can be returned to the wild. They're all permanent residents. They've all been rescued, either abandoned, injured, or unwanted pets.
But, now, is that common for a zoo to have be full of animals that have been rescued?
No, it's not. And that's why we have a sanctuary in our title. We don't breed animals. We don't display them just for the fun of it. They're all there because it's a better life for them than what they would have had otherwise. And
that's
and
nice.
That's one of the attractions.
Scott, you remember bringing your children there when they were young, do you
Absolutely.
Not?
Absolutely. I brought my kids.
I
live right near there.
Yeah, since they were little. And that's really...
It's been a number of years, though, since I've been to the
Folsom Zoo. Really what it is, because you could say to the children, look, these animals here, they live in our neighborhood. They live very, very close to where we live, in the foothills and the mountains of Northern California, which is attractive to the kids. So you bring tours through these of the school children on a regular basis? Is that what the Friends of the Folsom Zoo do?
That's what the docents do, okay? The friends, let me just give you a little bit better distinction between the two. So like you said, the docents run tours for kids coming in, and even adults, high school kids, depending on what they're studying and what their interests are. The friends are there primarily as fundraising. During the recession, they were key at just helping feed the animals and things like that. But in the better years, they're there to help provide some things that would not get done.
And,
for instance, should I go ahead?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. How many hours a week do you spend on this, Ed?
Personally?
Yeah.
Not that many, two or three.
Okay.
Most docents spend about 60 to 300 hours a year there.
Got it. But it's become an important part of your life, this involvement in this nonprofit.
Oh, definitely. It's allowed me to, continue to contribute after I retired. One's personal, and just like to keep busy and do some something that means something. Also wanted to give back to the community. It's I've enjoyed living around here, and it's a great group of people to be involved with.
Well, Ed, we appreciate your
and as a sign of appreciation from Hanson McLean, because we are part of the community, and we, like I said, I've been going to the Folsom Zoo for over 40 years. We'd like to donate $5,000 to the Friends of the Folsom Zoo Sanctuary.
Oh, thank you very, very much. You guys have been very generous. I'd like to thank you for your ongoing support. We started up a major fundraiser, restarted it about 4 years ago. It's called the Grow How and Wine. It's an event at the community center where we bring some animals in and then have wine and food to sample. You guys were a charter sponsor and have been there all along for us. We appreciate it. The other thing I really love about what you do is you guys make decisions quickly. I know I've asked several times for something, and okay. It's been really quick getting an answer.
Oh, well, so
thank you
so
very much.
Ed, thanks for the work you're doing in the community. And I appreciate very much, Ed, for joining us. It's fun to hear how people live their lives and spend their lives. And this is a special Christmas program for Hanson McLean's Money Matters. If you're tuned in and think, what the heck's going on? And by the way, Pat and I did not have any discussions about some of the things that he's... So if anyone's concerned about Hanson retiring early, that's not going to happen.
About what?
About the generosity of Hanson McLean.
Oh, no, we're not retiring early.
I'm just saying, it's very generous of us, I suppose.
Oh, I don't, what the heck? I mean, I was inspired. First of all,
Christmas Eve.
I was really touched with the first one, and then I thought, I can't give the first person $5,000 and not the second person, so you know how this show may end.
Yeah, we do. So anyway, this is a special Christmas time program of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Stick around for more Christmas stories.
To one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
All right. It's Christmas Eve.
Right,
everyone's in the Christmas spirit right now. I know my
kids are home
from college.
It just lacks the excitement from when the kids were little. The Christmas Eve kind of lacks the excitement.
You mean like when last week my son came home from college and picked him up at the airport Sunday night, like 8:30. His flight was late, all the whole thing. Come home, and I think he was home 7 minutes.
Before he left?
Yeah, 7 minutes. Where are you going? I'm going, so I'm like, hey, man, have a good time. Love you. Glad you're home. I mean, it's all good. But
he figures, I'll see him later.
I figure he's home for a month.
Well, when they were little, they've got a lot
now
of
you
young
wake
people.
Them up.
Yeah, we had a lot of young people that actually work at Hanson McLean. In fact, our Christmas party, I said to my wife, you see how many young people actually work at this company? And she's like, yeah, there's like a lot of 20-something, 30-something. And many of them have young kids, and they share these stories. What's that?
You're just getting old when 30-something's young.
I know. What happened?
Anyway, we're having a special program of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Rather than our normal talking about the Dow and all that stuff, we're having inspirational stories. These are clients of Hanson McLean that have been clients for a variety of years. And they are sharing their stories of how they've been involved in various nonprofits and charities. And it's because it's Christmas Eve, spirit of giving time. This is the giving season for regardless of your faith. So that's the way we thought it would be a fun show to do. And it's been great thus far. So, and we've got some more wonderful guests here at Hanson McLean. And now we've got Jennifer Bellotti. And Jen, we've known Jen for a number of years, both professionally. She did some marketing work and has done marketing work off and on for Hanson McLean for a number of years and has been involved in some wonderful nonprofits. And so, Jen, thanks for joining Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
So you are involved with an organization called Three Strands Global.
And what does Three Strands Global do? What's its mission? And then what exactly do you do on the ground to help victims of sex trafficking?
Well, Three Strands Global is a nonprofit organization, and we were established to combat human trafficking through prevention education in the classrooms here in the United States to protect our kids. We also offer reintegration efforts for survivors of human trafficking so they can become employed and have a sustainable living and a lifestyle that is healthy. And then we also provide awareness and engagement initiatives because this is a massive problem. It's a $150 billion global industry, second only to drug trafficking as an illegal crime. So it's a massive issue, and awareness around the issue is starting to improve, but one point of our mission is to make sure that people are aware of the issue and how they can do something to help.
And Jen, how did you get involved in this organization? Give us your kind of how you stumbled into this. Most of us stumble into these things, right? It kind of happens.
Yeah,
and the next thing you know, you find yourself passion somewhere and you're investing your time and resources.
And believe me, I didn't see it coming. I went to a business luncheon, which, you know, as a marketing person, never get that opportunity. but was invited to a business luncheon of a dear friend of mine, and there was a speaker. His name is Ken Peterson, and he's one of the founders of Three Strands Global, but also the CEO of Apricot Lane. And he shared his story of his work with Agape International Missions in Cambodia in their fight against human trafficking, specifically child trafficking. As I left the luncheon, I was completely emotionally wrecked by what I heard. And after a couple of days of really thinking about it and pondering how big the issue was, I realized, hey, I got to do something about this. This isn't something that you just walk away from a business luncheon and not activate or engage in some capacity. So that's how it started, and there are a lot of twists and turns along the road as we built the organization out. But it was just a simple business luncheon that I do 2-3 times a week.
And you were the founding board member?
Yeah, when we found there were a few of us that were founding board members, a few brave souls that were willing to talk about this issue. It's not as easy to describe as some of the other issues we talk about that are equally important, like cancer and lung disease and other issues. But, you know, we all took that step into that space to say this is important enough from a global perspective as well as locally in our own communities that we're going to do something together.
So tell us, tell us a little bit about the reintegration and actually what you do in terms of this jewelry that you actually...
some of the things in the last quarter, for example, you've done.
Yeah, and then... because you're in marketing, make the big pitch how our listeners could actually go and give money to your nonprofit.
Oh, believe me, I have a list. It's a short one, but it's easy. So we do have a reintegration model in addition to our prevention education in the classrooms. But the reintegration model, you know, because Ken Peterson came from a business model and I came from a marketing perspective, we thought, well, how do you fight an illegal business? Well, you fight it with business. And one of the things we discovered early on was that, you know, we could, you know, investigate, recover, and restore these young girls and boys. But at the end of that cycle, when they're feeling whole and healthy again, they needed purpose. They needed a job. They needed to be independent to prevent being exploited again.
Yeah.
So we found that a particular skill set that our partner in Cambodia has is the ability to make accessorized goods. And the victims and the survivors are trained in an ethical and fair working environment. The girls are paid 3 times the living wage in Cambodia, and they produce products that we order and sell and distribute in the United States. Well, actually all over the world, but specifically in the United States.
So this actually, Jen, this kind of fits in well because Apricot Lane is actually has something to do with clothing and accessories, does it not?
Yes, it's a boutique franchise. It's nationwide, and for Ken, it was kind of an easy lift, but it was a lift that he knew he could do because he had a solidified distribution market. He knew that if these products were created and he purchased them, he could sell them through his chain of boutiques across the U.S. So that was the first step, was being able. I mean, it's one thing to make a product, but it's a whole heck of a different scenario in trying to sell and distribute and be on trend and so forth. So, yeah, that worked out well to kickstart the employment piece and reintegration piece.
So quickly before we go, tell us how this has changed you and then let us, the listeners, know how to order some of these products.
Yeah, we've got links, of course, at moneymatters.com to all the organizations we're talking about today. So,
okay, awesome. That's incredible. Thank you. You know, the one thing it's done for me, it's helped me prioritize my personal commitments. Our whole family and nearly every one of my friends, yourself included, has become engaged in our fight, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity to serve in the capacity. And I feel like the opportunity to help others is a gift. And in this space, we see lives change every day in the work we do. And quite honestly, rarely do we each individually get a chance to change the world. But despite how big this problem is and the obstacles may seem, we all can do something to make a difference.
Well, that's nice. And as Scott said, if you go to our website, moneymatters.com, we will have a link to Three Strands Global. Jen, we have been proud to support you over these many years, actually since the inception of Three Strands.
Yep, absolutely.
And, we'd like to make a $5,000 donation for this Christmas season as well.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks for all the great work
amazing.
You do.
That's amazing.
We're proud of both you and your poor husband, Jim, that actually never sees you anymore. Since you got involved in this nonprofit thing.
Yeah, he's definitely my right hand on this. Thank you so much, and thank you for your ongoing support. Both of you have been unwavering in helping us in this cause. And thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, well, keep up the fight.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. If we've known Jen a long time, and Jen is not retired by any means. Still,
no, young lady.
Yeah, very active, busy woman, executive.
But and, empty nester? I'm guessing late
young lady,
40s.
You can tell Pat's getting old. Empty nesters are still young women.
Yeah, young ladies. Really, really committed a lot of time and energy to Three Strands Global.
Yeah. But it's just cool. It's, we've had three guests thus far, and people are involved in different things. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. If you're thinking, what in the world's going on today? This is a unique Christmas Eve special where we're talking about giving and giving back, and we are interviewing some clients of Hanson McLean that are involved in a variety of different nonprofits throughout the globe. So next, our next guest, we've got Rob Geyer, and Rob's been involved in the Triumph Cancer Foundation. And Rob, thanks for joining us today. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you very much.
So tell us about, if you wouldn't mind, Rob, the Triumph Cancer Foundation, what it does and how you got involved.
Sure. Yeah. So Triumph Cancer Foundation was founded 11 years ago now by a woman named Pam Whitehead, who is herself a cancer survivor. And to meet Pam, she's a force of nature, and she's really unbelievably committed to the cause of treating and curing cancer. But in her journey, she found that once she was completed the treatment of cancer, that was really just the beginning. So Pam created a nonprofit that's based here in Sacramento, and what we provide is strength and fitness conditioning for survivors of cancer, and we provide that fitness training free of charge, and it's done through exercise specialists that specifically train to work with cancer survivors. We have a few locations where we do that across the Sacramento region, and really it's just in the end we're focused on empowering cancer survivors by helping them regain their strength and stamina after going through a really fight to live.
And do you use you have specialists that have been trained to work with cancer survivors in post-cancer scenarios? I don't know if there's any such thing as post-cancer scenario, but to get their health back, do you use outside facilities? Do you have your own facilities? How does this work, Rob?
Yeah, so we work with some specially trained, they're fitness trainers, and we have a couple different locations that we use. So we kind of contract with the facility, then we contract with the individual trainers themselves. Jeff Rault, who's on our board, is really committed to this. He really oversees the fitness trainers themselves and ensures that we really just have the highest caliber trainers available to help our folks do this. We do it in a small group setting, so the classes themselves run through a 12-week program. It's a couple days a week, and it's overseen by two trainers at a time, and the class will have 5 to 6 folks in it. So what ends up happening is they not only get this great training, and they learn how to continue on and do it once the training program's over, but they actually create this sense of family and team.
And they build their own little support center. Correct? They build
absolutely.
Their own. And so tell us a little bit. So you don't charge for any of this. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, how'd you get involved with this?
And how you got involved in where you're at now.
Yeah, so about 5 years ago, Pam came to meet with me, and she was looking for She was looking for support for her organization. As you both know, I'm a long-term healthcare executive in the health insurance industry, and it seemed like for me a really good fit. I could bring my kind of all the skills and experience that I developed over the years working in the healthcare industry. I kind of knew the provider community through working them, you know, through the insurance side of the business, and thought I could really help kind of bring some structure and discipline to a growing organization, and just hit it off with Pam and just felt like, you know, this was a really great fit for me personally, and, you know, it's just a fantastic organization to help support. So that was kind of how I got drawn to it and why I've stuck with it. And it's I think it's pretty profound to see these classes graduate and to see the, you know, direct impact on people's lives through the training that they're getting.
And Rob, how's that impacted your life? If you were to look back and say, you know, what are a couple key moments for you?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, as I thought through really how this affected me, is it really cemented my belief that the greatest gift I think we all can both give and receive at the same time is to be of service to others. And, you know, while it's important that we support our important causes financially so they can grow and thrive, it's our service, which is the giving of our time and experience, that's really the most valuable to organizations. Volunteers are the lifeblood of nonprofits. And I just believe that, you know, time is the most precious commodity we have. And that, you know, to give that away is really the most generous act we can give. So, you know, it wasn't really until I started doing it that I discovered, you know, that the return on investment is really pretty infinite on that. And, you know, you guys do a great job managing money, but, you know, it's up to us to manage our time. I think that's what I've learned through this process.
And was it, so you were an executive, obviously, of a large organization. Were a lot of those skills transferable into a small nonprofit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've done this now a couple times for different organizations, and, you know, well, I believe we're all given the scenic gifts, you know, whether they're executive skills or administrative skills or organizational skills or anything. But,
or compassionate skills, yeah, right?
I mean, there's just, absolutely.
You see people doing frontline work in your organization, they think, wow.
Actually, that's me, Scott. I can sit on boards, but I am terrible at the front line.
Or sitting on someone's bedside for 5 hours.
I'm not good at that.
So you got to figure out what you're good at, and then figure out how to transfer it and find the organization that you have passion about and that can use the skills. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in this case, they were completely transferable. And, it's incredibly rewarding to give that away.
That's cool. And Rob, are you retired? Are you still retired?
That retirement, my wife wasn't too keen on that idea. I got myself back a real job. So.
Did she tell you that she married you for better or worse, but not for lunch?
She indeed did. So, yeah, so I am actually running a nonprofit healthcare trust that serves about 30,000 people and helping do that. And, it's a church-based organization, so it's rewarding in its own way.
So you got a real job again.
I got a real job.
Yeah,
again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, keep up the great work.
Good.
We do want to recognize you and your organization by donating $5,000 towards the Triumph Career
Cancer.
Triumph Cancer Foundation. Actually, I'm a little touched here.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you
thank
for
what you do, Rob.
Thank
and
you
the little
for
listeners, there's a link, of course, at moneymatters.com to the Triumph Cancer
and
Foundation.
I would encourage people to share this podcast with their friends, especially Rob's, where he left the workforce, did a little nonprofit work, and then went to work for a nonprofit, right?
30,000 members. Yeah, big one. Rob, thanks for being part of Hans McLean's Money Matters.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
It's cool. We've had, what, four guests so far, four very different nonprofits that they've been involved in. This is Hans McLean's Money Matters special Christmas Eve program, where instead of talking about where the S&P is today and Roth IRAs and then all that other stuff that is important, but given the time of year, there's other things that are, I think, of
This is my favorite show so far. We've been doing it for 20 years. Is it truly?
It's better than the 21 years ago where Pat interviewed Santa on Christmas Eve as I was at the hospital with my wife who was giving birth to our first child.
This is actually, I think we should change the format of the show every week.
It sounds expensive.
It does.
I don't know if we can afford it. Anyway, we've got another guest, Suzanne Plopper, is joining us. And Suzanne is involved with an organization called Friends of Burkina Faso.
SRU, Scott.
I'm not involved in this organization, but I've been to Burkina Faso.
You have?
Yes. Anyways, and that's not why Suzanne's on the program, by the way. I did not know who was on until the list showed up. So, Suzanne, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
Suzanne has been a long time client of Hanson McLean's, who I have worked with personally, I don't know how long now, 17?
No, we can't legally have client endorsements. So she's not,
she can't say anything good about us, even if there was Abel. but both retired a number of years ago. So can you talk about what you're doing with Friends and maybe what you're doing with the CASA as well?
Okay, well, Friends of Burkina Faso is an association of returned Peace Corps volunteers from Burkina Faso in West Africa.
Oh.
And it's a 501c3 nonprofit affiliated with the National Peace Corps Association.
Were you involved in the Peace Corps?
Yes, I was a volunteer in Burkina Faso in the late 60s.
Oh, is that right? How interesting. And so what does the Friends of Burkina Faso do? What's your mission over there?
In addition to being an organization of return volunteers who get together and who communicate, and we have a newsletter and those kinds of things, we also support community-based projects in Burkina Faso, projects that are submitted by host country nationals, and we review them and vet them and support them. And the Girls Education Project is our longest and most successful, I would say, project we have supported.
And share with us a bit about the Girls Education Project.
Oh, this is awesome. This is so good. This is my, I love
have you heard
story.
This?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I haven't. But I actually believe that the number one impact on alleviating poverty is educating girls.
So, Suzanne, tell
more
us
than
a little...
educating boys, educating girls.
So tell us how this works.
Well, how it works is, or how I got involved in about 2001, beyond simply being a dues-paying member, I learned about this Girls Education Project in the region of Burkina Faso where I had been a Peace Corps volunteer in the 60s. And the project was set up and is run by a local high school teacher and his wife, who's a midwife for the government. And they decided to promote girls' education. So through donations that they collect, they provide basic school supplies, a T-shirt and a skirt, a simple lantern to study by night at night, and a lamb to each girl participating at the cost of about $80.
And a lamb. That's key. And a lamb.
It's absolutely key because the requirement is that the parents raise and sell their daughter's lamb each year in order to pay for the girl's remaining 12 years of primary, middle, and secondary school. So for $80, we're able to send a girl completely through high school.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing, Scott?
Yeah. And how many girls?
What's amazing is that it's self-help. You know, you give them the start and they have to do the rest.
Yeah, and studies have shown that you educate a girl, they grow up to a woman. You give a grown man in a lot of these countries some money, and they'll go buy alcohol and they don't quit working. You give a mother some money, and they make a huge difference. So just educating some young girls makes a tremendous impact. How many girls have been through this program?
Well, through the primary school program, we have supported about 3,700 girls in the past 15 years. And overall, the project in Burkina has supported close to 7,000 girls in the past 16 or 17 years.
And Burkina Faso, for the rest of the listeners, it's in Africa, the western part of Africa. It's one of the poorest countries on the planet. I've been to Burkina Faso. I was there about a year and a half ago. Actually, Hanson McLean sponsored three wells to be dug in a very remote village to provide access, clean water access. Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, all the employees at Hanson McLean. We did a company-wide fundraise.
Yeah, in 2015.
So, Suzanne, if you're comfortable, can you tell us a little bit about your giving, if you're comfortable talking about that, and kind of how you and your husband, Charles, and I had this conversation a couple of years ago about how to give more efficiently. Are you comfortable talking about that? Or?
Sure. Well, for us, it's terribly efficient because Friends of Burkina Faso supports this project, but we're an all-volunteer organization, so that we have absolutely no overhead. I'm the treasurer, and I'm also the liaison between our organization and this project in Burkina. I've been to Burkina several times and worked with them, and I'm in constant contact with them in terms of how the project is going and any kind of issues they have or we have. But the funds that are sent there essentially go to support these girls in either primary school or in post-secondary school at this point.
Yeah, perfect.
Wonderful. And with many of our clients, you've heard us talk about charitable giving on our show and the use of charitable trust on our mm-hmm. show. And for many of our clients, not just the clients that we've had on today, but for many of our clients, we actually help them give their resources more efficiently, tax efficiently, to organizations like mm-hmm. Like Burkina, Friends of Burkina Faso. So before we go, Scott and I would like to recognize, and we've been a longtime supporter of the Friends of Burkina Faso, as well as some of the other nonprofits that you're involved in. And I truly do have the greatest respect for the work you do. We at Hanson McLean would like to make a $5,000 donation to the Friends of Burkina Faso.
Thank you. Yeah. That is very generous and much appreciated by the next round of girls we will be supporting.
Well, you are an inspiration to myself. I can tell you that, you and Charles.
Yeah. Thank you, Suzanne, for all you do and for being part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And, of course, you hear the Christmas music coming here. It is Christmas Eve, and this has been a special edition of Hanson McLean's Money Matters that we've had five unique guests on talking about their journey and giving back and serving others. And I think one had shared that when we serve others, that's when we're most blessed and filled. And hopefully as we're going through our own Christmas journey right now with friends and family, it'd be a wonderful Christmas season for all. We've all these organizations we discussed, there'll be a link to our website at moneymatters.com. So click on that. And as Pat said, his favorite program of 21,
of 21
it's
years.
It's really been a lot of fun. So hopefully you've enjoyed it as well. We wish you a very Merry Christmas, some wonderful time with family and friends, and we will see you next week.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.